What is Qigong and how can it help you have a confident and calm life, as the title of this podcast proclaims? You will find the answers in this podcast series with host, the confidence coach, Susan Axelrod, and co-host, Nadine Searle, the calmer self coach. Qigong is an ancient Chinese practice of mindfulness, but it's so much more. Called internal medicine, it is said that using the practice of Qigong can create an elixir within. Could this be true? In this podcast series, this truth will be explored by two practitioners, one former type A and one former self-professed people pleaser. Dr. Roger Yonka calls Qigong one of the most eloquent, poetic, and effective tools in our quest for personal breakthrough and peace of mind. Your podcast hosts, Susan and Nadine, agree. Qigong can be a new tool in your personal health practice kit. Join them for this conversation that may just change your life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to this very special episode of the podcast about how Qigong can help you live a confident and calm life. Today, we are talking about a topic that is close to my heart. It's possible, if not probable, that I may cry today. The topic is on grief and loss. We are speaking about this topic because it feels so prevalent in our society today. We spent 2 years in the COVID pandemic, and many people today coming out of it more than a year feel tired, stressed. And what my co-host Nadine Searle and I want to talk about is the loss and grief that may come with that. So I want to welcome my dear friend Nadine to the discussion today. Hello, Nadine. Very, very good to see you today.
Oh, hello, Susan. I'm so pleased to be with you today. It is wonderful that we can share this, can't we, across the miles. And this is a really, really important topic. And so your intuitive way of finding the perfect time, this is so needed, isn't it?
Well, let's start with a laugh, Nadine. You know, if I've learned nothing, it's that humor can support us in all times. So I'm going to make a reveal here that Nadine and I both have coping strategies for grief and loss, which we will discuss today. But one of them I learned from Nadine is dancing. And this morning I woke up to a message with a wonderful, amazing, upbeat, uplifting dance song to wake me from my friend Nadine. And I want to tell you, Nadine, I know you and I both have been thinking about this discussion today. It's a little bit heavy on the heart, right? But it's so important that we can have tools that can also uplift us, make us laugh. I danced in my bathroom this morning.
Yay! I love that. I'm so pleased. I danced in my kitchen, yeah. Bit of Barry Manilow. Yay, you know. And that is a really good point that you've made there, Susan, because a lot of people, when they are feeling down, it's very hard to lift and we don't know what to do. I know you're going to talk about your lovely Qigong, and that's so important. But a little jig about, you know, it doesn't have to be planned. It doesn't have to be good. My dancing is not. Yeah. But you get a moment of joy. And that is so important, even if it doesn't last. And sometimes with people, it's just a little lift and then you go back. That's fine. You've had that little moment, haven't you? And so, yes, sharing that is a beautiful way to start today.
Well, having a little jig about is absolutely wonderful. And it connects us up to the topic of Qigong. Qigong has been so helpful for me, Nadine, because it brings me present. The yes. energy of Qigong is about coming to the present. So just to share today, a few months ago, I lost my husband, and it was a tragic situation that was difficult for me and our whole family, and maybe a little bit expected, but also, of course, unexpected. And it came 1 year after I lost my mother. And that was definitely unexpected, although she was 85, but she graced us, Nadine, by leaving the physical world in good health and having had a wonderful trip. with me and my daughter. And I've been able to transform that loss and that grief. And that came just about 1 year after I lost my father, who left on a 10-week long end-of-life journey due to old age that we were all in with him together. And over the course of the few prior years, I also lost my in-laws, whom I love. I loved from the moment I met them. So grief and loss are not new to me. And I am aware of the different types of grief and loss, that it's different to lose a 92-year-old father who lived a wonderful life and was, you know, took a long end with all his family around him, all the way up through to losing my husband, who, which was very difficult and tragic at the end. And so I also know five people myself, Nadine, who have lost children. I personally know five people myself who have lost children, and I'm utterly excruciatingly aware that that loss is yet a different kind of loss. So to manage this along the way, we sit in this deep, you know, deep feeling, Nadine. It sits, you know, in your heart, in your chest, in your stomach, perhaps in a, you know, your head, you get headaches. And I know that you have been recently certified as a grief coach, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to just speak briefly to this type of grief and loss when you lose a loved one.
Yeah, you're so right. It is around, and I really feel for you. I know what you've been through, and it's always layered, isn't it? It's never just one thing. And I would imagine, I hope I'm not talking out of turn, that, you know, every loss that you've had brings up the old ones again, doesn't it? You know, they don't go away. And that's not what we're trying to do here, is it? We're not trying to get, you know, you'll get over it, that kind of attitude. That's not what this is about. It's actually, like you said, I think earlier, sitting with it, learning how to incorporate in our life. It is part of life, isn't it? You're absolutely right. And I do feel that it's very, like you said earlier, you know, when it's older, like your parents or older people, we know it's going to happen. Sometimes we do know, we expect, we've gone through whatever we've gone through with our loved ones, but it still hits, doesn't it? It still hits. But like you say, the other end of the scale where people are, you know, might have lost children, you know, it's another thing, isn't it, completely? So it's not a competition, got to put it that way. You know, there is loss, there is sadness, there is grief at every level, and it's really, this is what we want to address today, isn't it, and what we can do. And coming back to what we said earlier, you know, allowing yourself a moment of joy even when you're hurting. You know, some people can't do that with, there's guilt, there's lots of different emotions, or we don't know how to be sad, we don't know how to get, feel it, do what we do. You know, it's an unknown for some people, isn't it? And it hurts so much that we just freeze, don't we? So this conversation is so, so valuable, isn't it? And I really want people to get, well, I know they'll get much from it because of what we can share. So I'm really sending you lots of love for all of your loss. But, and I know you have coping strategies, but it still, you know, it still hurts, doesn't it? It still hurts.
Well, the fact that we're actually having the conversation, saying things out loud, sharing the losses, speaking to the whole feeling that you feel when you suffer with the loss, showing vulnerability by sharing the deepest truth within. You know, grief and loss brings up brain fog and, like you said, feelings of guilt. And the thing that I want to hit on is what you said just at the end there, which is the freeze, right? So your brain and your nervous system actually get activated into the parasympathetic, the sympathetic nervous system, which is where you're in fight, flight, or freeze. And that can happen. It just happened to me for a moment. I felt the emotion coming up when you were talking.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
you can see it rise. And the beauty and blessing of knowing of a practice like Qigong is where you can bring it in, right? We go into mind focus, That's the thought that I'm having. My husband, I miss my husband. And then I was telling you all the people I miss in my life who left me in the physical form. So those are thoughts that come, right? We have these thoughts about them, and we may have thoughts of guilt or worry or, you know, concern or loneliness, sadness, you know, sometimes resentment, all the deepest thoughts. And then what supports us is the breath awareness. So that's mind-focused breath awareness, like, right, the breath awareness, and then also the body movement. So these are some of the basics of Qigong that we're teaching as part of this podcast series. And this three, I call it MBB, mind-focus, breath awareness, body movement, right? So you can move your body and right, exactly. You can feel it because grief and loss, these deep-seated feelings gets actually captured. Yes. And so that is something, you know, that we're talking about today. Now, I want to let our listeners and viewers know that this is going to be a two-part episode. In the second episode, the second half, we're going to hear from you, Nadine, about your six-step process in dealing with grief and loss, incorporating your six-step calmer self method. And I really am looking forward to that discussion. For now, I want to also talk about the energy of being mindful, being in mindfulness, right? And that's part of what a practice like Qigong can do. Now, as you and I have said on these episodes before, Nadine, we're talking about the Qigong basics, and you don't have to know it all. You don't have to get it all, right? It can support you. Nadine, I want to ask you about this other idea of loss of something that you might have otherwise had. And so that is a different kind of grief and loss. And it's something everyone experiences, something changes in life. And as you know, when you go through a divorce or when you become ill or something changes, you lose your job. There's grief in that type of loss too, isn't there?
Yes, you're absolutely right, Susan. Loss is around us all the time. And one of the things I know we're both quite keen to get across to people is that actually recognizing that we deal with loss almost on a daily basis, you know, and to have some confidence in that, you're the confidence coach, you know, confidence that actually we deal with it better than we think we do. So again, like you say, when we are in grief, we're in a place of fear, we're sometimes frozen, we hold our heart very, very tightly, don't we, instead of like we were just doing opening it up, because we're scared, we're fearful. But to recognize that we are coping with loss very, very often, and it is every step of the way, every change we go through in life, even going back to childhood, like going to school, losing, you know, you're not seeing your mum all the time, you're going to school, that kind, all the different things that happen in our life. If we have a little scan back, we have coped with loss successfully time and time again. So that's just something I want to share, because that gives us the confidence, and that's important, isn't it, to know that we are better at coping with this than we think. The feelings come in, they freeze us, they, like you say, temporarily we go, ooh, I don't know what's going on. This is where a movement, or just tuning into you, as I always say, you hear me say it all the time, don't you, really helps. And like you said, with your mind, with your breath, with your body moving, that helps. And it's touching on what I mentioned earlier about self-care at a moment when actually it's the last thing you might think of. And actually at any stage of loss, of any stage of change, like you said, we've gone through the pandemic, that's still with us, you know, massive change. And it's really hard for us to cope with. I still haven't got my head around it, to be honest. Things are changing all the time, and it puts me in a place of fear. But I go, okay, get right. And these practices, like you say, Qigong, it's a daily practice that I do, I know that you do, and you teach it, which is brilliant as well. But like you said, people don't need to actually say, oh, I know how to do it. Just being in your mind, choosing how you feel, knowing, recognizing, if you like, that you've gone into that state of panic and fear maybe, and then just going, okay, that's fine, breathe, maybe move. And just literally, like we have just done, up and down with your hands, sometimes it's enough, isn't it, just, you know, whatever you want to do, it's lovely if you learn Qigong because it is so beneficial, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be. We can start it now, can't we, just by being aware.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
And sometimes it may be BBM. So it may be that you take that breath, like you realize, like, oh, I have to breathe. You know, we're taught a lot today that breathing helps, and it does help in a scientific, physiological way more than you could ever imagine. I encourage people to learn about it, read about it. I read the book Breath years ago. And then that body movement, sometimes if you can just move that body, exactly what you said, you showed how we get captured. When grief visits, as my dear friend Debbie Friedson taught me years ago, grief visits. And then I added one little sentence that has changed everything for me, but it doesn't have to consume.
Yes.
Grief visits, but it doesn't have to consume. And you can visit with grief. You can be in grief and loss. And I am, you know, I am in acute active grief right now, but the practice of Qigong and the bases, you know, the basis of principles of learning about your thoughts, learning about your breath, and learning how body movement can support you has given me what I call agency. Yeah. I call this self-agency. It's agency. There's a tangible, like palpable, oh, I can move. You know, I can do something. I can also be in my grief, but I can also move.
Yes. Yeah. And it is like, I love that you call it agency. I love that. And I think sometimes it's giving yourself permission, isn't it, to go, I can do something different. You know, we forget. And as I say, you know, to remember how good we are at things, even if we are feeling lost, because that's quite often how people feel, is now I just don't know what to do now. And we're scared of our feelings, aren't we, in general? I think, I mean, a lot of people are very, I used to be so scared of fear. And I think that, and then you just don't want to go there. So you, that unfortunately makes it worse, doesn't it? So if you are, like you say, sit with it, take a moment, have your confidence and your calmness together and just breathe. It changes, doesn't it? It's amazing how things change to a little degree sometimes. And sometimes we go back into that scary place, but we can change. And the more we practice it, the more we do a little movement, a little mindset, a little breath, the more we go, oh, okay, that did change a little bit. And then we can do it even more. So it's building up, isn't it, gradually, and feeling it, really feeling it.
I wanted to bring up what you just showed us, this simple movement with your hands. And we have talked about this before, but I can't say how much I've learned in my own practice and my own training that a movement, a simple, small, repetitive movement can bring your nervous system down. It can bring your thoughts down. It can bring your energy down into a settled feeling. Yes. The settling instead of the ratcheting up in grief, sadness, you know, deepness, also aloneness.
Oh, yeah.
Feelings of grief and loss are so alone. You know, when you lose either that someone, you know, you love perhaps more than life itself, if it's your child or, you know, we're connected to for 40 years, you know, when you lose that person, it's almost like an appendage is gone. And in some ways, I know that when you lose a child, you never gain that appendage back. You just, you know, in some ways go on and do the best you can. And these tools and ideas can support you. Just not that long ago, I was sharing my own loss with a friend who lost a child. And she said to me, she was speaking about her child. I always ask, you know, about the child and the experiences and any memories. People who lose children often do love to talk about them. Mm. And said, thank you so much. She said, I feel so much better because I feel like I'm not really allowed to talk about him anymore.
Yeah. You know? It's so true. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it's so common, isn't it, that people don't know what to say to people when they're suffering, when they're feeling grief, they want to say something, they don't know what to say, so they don't say anything. And that's very common, isn't it? We've probably all done that. I know I have. But even just saying I don't know what to say sometimes helps. And you're absolutely right, Susan. You know, people do want to talk about the person that they've lost, and that some people might find that a little bit strange. They might not realize that, but it's important that you've shared that, because we do want to talk, and it's really, I can see the emotions coming up.
I know.
It's so important, isn't it, to be able to talk and share, because that person then is still with you. Sharing that, if you don't mind me sharing, I know you caught up with an old friend recently and you shared some memories and some pictures of your beloved husband. And you just think that that's so precious, isn't it? But some people might have been afraid to do that with you.
Right.
Might have gone, oh, I don't, because exactly, you're the perfect example of it. The tears are coming and people go, oh, I don't want to make Susan cry, so I won't talk about it. But actually, isn't that what you want to be doing? You know, what the freedom of releasing the tears, getting those emotions. Again, it's very important. I've got a little tear here now. Gosh, here we go. But it's important. I've got a little quote. It's very quick, actually, from William Shakespeare, nonetheless. And actually, it does say, if I can just find it quickly, it is about give sorrow words. The grief that does not speak whispers the overwrought heart and bids it break. Now that's old-fashioned talk, but you get the gist, don't you? Give your sorrow words, speak about it. Don't, again, that's holding it in if we don't, isn't it? And if we hold it in, then it breaks our heart. So again, not saying your heart isn't breaking, but speaking, are you feeling a bit of a release because the tears have come and the words have come?
Yes, you know, it opens up. And also there is the broken heart of losing someone.
Of course there is.
Yeah. But there is the broken heart of literal breakdown in your physiology. That if you keep this in you, and by the way, I do want to say that there may be people who have lost jobs, Nadine. Yes. There may be people who have had to move, unexpectedly. Yes. There may be people who have had a health scare or actually got an illness and lost their hair. There may be people who have different kinds, certainly lost an animal, the loss of something changing, even retiring a planned retirement, you lose your identity. So there's all different kinds of things. And if we don't show up like this, if we don't speak it out, just like you said, then it could get captured in us. I wanted to bring up again this idea that was interesting that you shared with us, which is you've actually been coping with loss and then maybe grief for a long time, more than you realize. The sudden death of someone or the death, the physical, is obvious, but that would indicate that we're more practiced at this than we know.
Yes.
And I like that idea, because just like you said, in a lot of my work, practice helps us become more confident.
Yes.
And so I do like the idea that help people understand that, you may be better at this than you realize, and that there's maturity in voicing it out.
Yes, definitely. And I feel, you know, the work that we're doing together and so many other people that I know of and we're not working with, but I'm very aware of what they do. We are getting that message out there. This is why it's so important, isn't it? To not be frightened of talking about this, to not be frightened of admitting I'm scared, I'm hurting, you know, that kind of thing. Because years ago, I could never tell anyone I was upset. I just couldn't do it. That's not how I behaved. And that was doing me harm. So I've learn how to change, you know, with the help of people like you and lots of people around me. It's so important. And you're absolutely right. You know, there's so much, you know, I went through infertility problems years ago, you know, so there's loss there, never got a baby, there's feelings that comes up sometimes, like you said, diagnosis, you know, I'm waiting for results, you know, who knows, I've got that little fear going on, you know, of what might be, what I might lose, that kind of thing. And you're absolutely right, of whatever it can be, you know, loss in every shape or form, recognizing, you know, that we're scared and admitting it. I say it out loud sometimes, I'm scared, you know, and if I share that with someone else, you know, I don't want to scare other people. I've still got that in me a little bit, but I know that they can handle it. That's another thing, isn't it? I'm confident that I can handle whatever comes, whatever, because of what I've been through, and also confident in myself and remembering I have tools and coping strategies, but also knowing that if you share with someone else, they'll be okay too. You know, so that's mm-hmm. another thing to just be aware of, that we sometimes hold our fears in because we don't want to scare everyone else. So that's another thing to be aware of. And something I've come coming across so often, and you've touched on it, anticipatory grief. We're scared of what might be. As I say, I'm waiting for results. I'm scared of what might be. It's not happened. It's not real, you know, but I'm anticipating grief. And how many people are living with loved ones that they know, you know, no one's going to last forever, no one's going to be here forever, and we worry, we fear the loneliness. Loneliness is a big one, isn't it? Like you said, yeah. We are scared of how we'll cope and what we'll do, so we're sitting in that fear before we've even had a loss sometimes, you know. So again, just recognizing that. And I want to say to everybody, you are not alone. All of the feelings we're talking about, everybody goes through. Everybody does. It's how we adjust, how we manage, and how we don't get rid of grief, we don't get rid of that loss, we don't get perfect at coping with it, but we manage it in a different way, don't we? And we get, I'd like to say we get skilled at it, that takes the fear away, doesn't it? We do get better as we brave up to it, if you like. That's not really a proper expression, but you know what I mean.
We do indeed. And I wanted to take my necklace off and show it to you. It actually says the words, "You are not alone."
There you go.
I actually said the words. My friend Wayne Grover started this movement based on his own feelings about getting divorced and realizing, you know, feeling very alone. And it's something that I am, you know, a part of, and I speak about it. I'll be speaking more about it, because the "you are not alone" is absolutely vital. It's probable that no one can ever step inside your deepest grief space and know your loss, no matter which it is. It doesn't matter. It's yours. It's personal. You know, you brought up self-care, Nadine. The way I teach self-care, and I offer a weekly self-care accountability group,
yes,
is my self-care is not yours. It's personal to you. And so your grief or your loss experience is so deeply personal. Perhaps no one can ever step right next to the heart space. However, there are people who have suffered, who do suffer. So many people have said to me, you know, I go live quite often, Nadine, I do use social media for good. I use it for uplifting. I use it to share, to inspire, to motivate. And most of all, I use it to create community. So you and I have not yet met in person, but we are so dearly and deeply close. And that's how I use social media to let people in. And I've opened myself up to that. Yeah. And so people have said to me, thank you for how you are sharing your grief process, because most people have it so private. It's so deep. It hurts so much.
Yeah.
You know, so we just have another minute or two. Yeah. And I want to say that I am looking forward to the second part of our discussion. We're going to close out this part of the discussion shortly, and then we're going to come back and do a second episode on this important topic. It will also be live on the same Facebook page or other platforms where you may be seeing it. Nadine, how can people find you?
Yes, I'm all over the place, Karma Self. I would like to invite people to join my Karma Self Cafe, actually. That's my Facebook group. And it is a lovely place, like you say, is because there's a community there for people to join in and know that they're not alone, ask questions, make connections and everything. And that is a lovely place, I think, for people to just visit, come in, join in, be quiet, just look if they want to, or ask questions. And that is on Facebook, Karma Self Cafe. It's a virtual cafe. So that's a lovely place.
And I also have a private Facebook group, and I think these private Facebook groups are such a vital piece of a place to gather for this type of discussion. Mine is called Discovering You Again for Women in the Second Half of Life. Nadine Searle and I can both be found in the KS Media Group app that you can go to your phone, you can download the app, KS Media Group, and you will find there amazing discussions about all kinds of things from healers and speakers and helpers. And we are two of the coaches and founders of that app, and we invite you to join us there. Nadine, as always, a beautiful discussion, something that will be continuing. It's so important. And I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you. So beautiful. Thank you.